remember, when Moses went into the mountain, what happened to him? He got filled with light. He had to cover his face. Okay? That's the same subject that I was sharing from the table over there. Okay? So, it's the same coordinates. God is about to bring back his light into his creation. And that's you and me. That's what he's planning on. That's what he wants for all of us. Jackie, was there something else inside?
No.
No. Okay. Then I want you to bow your heads. Say, Father, give me eyes to see what your word says. Give me ears to hear what your spirit is speaking. For this day, give me a heart to perceive and to contain what you're preparing for me right now. In Jesus' name. I would remind you that tonight at 7 o'clock, there's going to be a baptism. And those that have been signed up, we pray will be there. And if you have guests, invite them as well. We're going to have that at the YMCA on Chestnut Street in Springfield. And you need to be there a few minutes before 7. And we'll meet you in the entrance. The word that the Lord gave goes back to a word that I heard during the night, the other night. And I'm just going to ask you to listen, and it's going to start at Galatians 2:20. In it, he says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, not I, but Christ lives in me. So also today, if we are to hear and accept the present word of the Lord, we must have an ear to hear and a new wineskin to receive as we transition from grace to government. As we transition from grace to government. Now, this is a book that I have cherished for a while. It's called Unlocking the Mysteries of the Kingdom, and that's what we're going to be talking about, is the kingdom. When Jesus began his ministry, he chose those who had no previous religious training. Two fishermen while they were working at their trade. Because this calling required that they go beyond the revelation that was given to Moses, they were being called apart so this transition could take place, first within them and then in others through them. Mark 1:15. The time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. And Jesus said to them, come, you, after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. Here the message of the kingdom is being offered to Simon and Andrew through a practical application to their occupation. They had been fishers of fish. Now Jesus is calling them to become fishers of men. Therefore, he said to them, I will make you to become. Notice, I will make you to become. He did not say, follow me and I will teach you how to fish. So it's not a learning thing through the natural realm. Today, we are still living in a time of preparation. Our time for fishing will come. However, we must first come before we can be sent. We must first come before we can be sent. Exodus 3:10. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh. Who? Moses. Come, my beloved, let us go forth into the field. Songs of Solomon 7 through 11. Verse 11, sorry. The kingdom message in its functioning is intended to lift you and me out of the earthly aspects of our present life experience into a higher realm, the outworking of that which we are being prepared until judgment is accomplished and his kingdom in righteousness fills the earth. The word kingdom has often been misapplied, as it has been relegated to a future millennium. It's always down the road somewhere. Someday we're going to enter the kingdom or into heaven. However, the claim of the kingdom, as Jesus presented it, must first become a present reality within us. Come, which will prepare us for the future millennial kingdom. So God is really saying to us through this man, wake up, the kingdom is available now. It's not 1,000 years from now, it's not a future date, it is a present reality that is to be established in you. Luke 17, verse 20 and 21. The kingdom of God comes not with observation, neither shall they say, lo, here, or lo, there. But behold, the kingdom of God is within us, or you, or me. So try that one on for size. Say, the kingdom of God is within me.
It's a present reality.
It's not a future date on some silly calendar. When I came to Jesus, the kingdom was established. Hallelujah. The claim of the kingdom must become effective in the everyday life experience of each of us who chooses to submit to his kingdom rule. Remember again, it's a choice we make. Jesus did not imply that those who respond would be promoted into a place of rulership or prominence. Rather, he expressed the coming of a kingdom authority that would reign over the lives of all who would submit to its message. I will make you to become. To accomplish this, every aspect of our daily pattern of life must be affected. So it's going to work through you and in you in everything you do and everything you speak. Matthew 4:17. For that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, you say, well, what are you trying to get to me? What are you trying to awaken in me? I'm trying to awaken in you that there are religious mindsets that we have had that need to be changed. That's what I'm trying to get to you. And I want you to be aware that when you and I accepted Jesus, we were accepting him as the king. Now, I remember when I first came to the Lord, there was a wonderful book called King's Kids by Harold Hill. I never forgot him. He was a marvelous gift to me. And I remember the excitement within me about being a king's kid. So tell your neighbor, get happy. You're a king's kid. Right away. You're in the kingdom. And your papa is in charge. His son is the king. So get with the action. Act like a king. Under construction. Amen? All right. So if you're acting like a king, there's nothing that can beat you up. Amen? So some of you girls might be princesses and the young men can be princes, but as far as I'm concerned, you're a king's kid. Romans 14, 9. Are you ready? For this reason, Christ died and returned to life so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. Did you hear that? He's the Lord of the dead and the living. Why do you judge your brother? Or why do you look down on your brother? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. As it is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me. Every tongue will confess to God. Verse 12. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. So you're not going to be giving an account to your neighbor. Verse 13. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put a stumbling block or an obstacle in your brother's way. In other words, don't get in the control room because it's not a good space. 14. As one who is in the Lord Jesus, I am fully convinced that no food is unclean in itself. But if anyone regards something as unclean, for him it is unclean. If your brother is distressed because of what you eat, you are no longer acting in love. Do not by your eating destroy your brother for whom Christ died. That could be someone in the religious realm that is not of your tag. Leave them alone. Verse 16. Do not allow what you consider good to be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, I've taken so that you can see St. Paul's connection here, so that it is an everyday reality. The kingdom is when you and I are full of righteousness and believe it, full of peace and give it out, full of joy, and your heart is visible to those around you. And it's the joy of the Holy Spirit. It's not a joy that you got happy because you got high on some drug or some booze. Got it? Now I'm pushing some buttons here, and there's a reason for it. Matthew 5:3 will give you some of the ways of how to enter the kingdom. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 25:34. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed of my father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. Isn't that cool? Matthew 25:35. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. It's also confirmed in Luke 6:20. Luke 9:62. Jesus replied, no one who puts his hand to the plow, looks back, is fit for service in the kingdom of God. So if you're constantly looking at your past, what are you going to be looking at? Death, hopelessness, destruction, maybe obstructions, maybe rejection, maybe all kinds of testings. You shouldn't look back there because that's covered by the blood. The blood of Jesus already covered that. So when you're constantly digging back into your old life, what are you going to have for an emotional? What are you going to have as your everyday experience? Anger, bitterness, and depression. And everybody around you is going to say, my God, what does it smell around here? Yeah, I'm not kidding. Okay? How many of you have ever been around in a person who's got all this old stuff that they're focused on? The smell, it's not a physical smell, it's a spiritual smell. And you can actually feel it, it's tangible. Okay? They're bitter, they're hurt, they're angry. And boy, I'll tell you, you listen to them for half an hour and you want to run the other way. Pray for them. Intercede for them as the Lord leads. Okay? John 3:3. In reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. So if the person's not born again, you're not going to see the kingdom in them. What are you going to see? You're going to see Adam. You're not going to see the anointed one, which is Christ Jesus. You're going to see the death process of Adam. And it usually gets worse when they get older.
Oh, amen.
The older they get, the more bitter. The more venom comes out of them. Because that's what they're full of. The more they're afraid. Yeah. And some of them will take a few drinks to get rid of the pain. Don't stop them. That's not going to solve anything. It's not your job to become their deliverer. He's already been provided. His name is who? Jesus. And if they can't accept him, they're certainly not going to accept you. They'll use you and abuse you in the process. Please tell me I'm right. Do I get any amens? Thank you. So when you're in the kingdom, you are going to have some adversaries. And they're called Adamic in their nature. They're coming from death. Adam was what? Condemned to? Condemned to what? Death. And to work. And to hustle and bustle. And make everybody miserable. Why do you think his sons couldn't get along? And I'm not going to go there. No. Acts 14:22. If I lose the flow, we're going to be in trouble. Yep. Acts 14:22. Strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith, we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. Woo-hoo! You say, well, that can't be part of the scripture. I thought I was a king's kid. Yeah. How do you think he prepared King David? Look at David's life and you'll get a clue why he's called who he is. He's a spiritual father to Jesus. So Jesus went through the same things that David did. Jesus was rejected, pushed away, and did not qualify in many people's eyes. Jesus is called the son of? Why? Because they had a relationship problem. Aha. When you realize that King David's is a pattern of what Jesus experienced, you'll have an awakening of why he had to be what he had to be. And that's why his brothers couldn't stand him. John chapter 7. Read it for yourself. They thought he was nuts. Some of your family might think you're a little bit nuts, or a lot nuts. Get over it. It comes with the king. If you follow the kingdom, you're going to what?
You're going to run into a lot of adversaries.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to give you Acts 14:22. Strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith, we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. 2 Thessalonians 1:5 will confirm it. James 2:5. Listen, my dear brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised to those who love him? You know, when you take it into account that you're on a walk with the king, you're following him, his kingdom is being swelling inside of you. It's getting bigger. Okay? The more it gains in strength and in power, you start radiating his light. Just like Moses did when he came off the mountain. and you will be an irritation to the kingdom of darkness. The third day that I spoke to you about earlier, the third millennium, is when you're going to see the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light facing each other. And I guarantee you, Jesus hasn't lost one battle. Look at your neighbor, say, get ready for a winning streak. You're going to win because of the light of Christ. And the kingdom of Christ. The kingdom of the Most High God has already been established in you. So get a clue. You are a king's kid. And the darkness is definitely seeing it. And that's why they don't really like you. But I like you. I, in fact, love you. Because Jesus loves you. And he loves me too. Amen? And amen. Be blessed.